It's so good to be with you again this morning. It is my pleasure to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may have noticed that Bill's theme this morning, all the songs were about heaven. That is our theme this morning in respect for Sister Rainwater, who passed away this week. We do ask you to open your Bibles and follow along. As always, I don't want you to take my word. Never take any man's word, only the word of God. You know, every one of us here this morning, every one of us are only a breath away from eternity. Just a breath away from eternity. And just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, I know that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And I know just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, that Peter said in 2 Peter 3:10, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, I know that the Hebrew writer said it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And I know just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there that God is in heaven. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." Isaiah 66 and verse 1. And just as I'm sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, heaven is the home of the faithful. Heaven is the home of the faithful. Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." In Matthew 5 and verse 12. My friends, I've said all this to lead into my favorite subject, heaven, the home of the faithful. On the dawning of that great day, there will be a multitude of people who will rouse themselves from sleep at the sounding of the alarm clock. They will shower, they'll shave, they'll brush their teeth, they'll eat their breakfast, and they'll leave home to take care of the duties of the day, having already spoken to the Lord in prayer and secure in the belief that if this is the day when Jesus comes, even so, come, Lord Jesus. There is no fear in the hearts of these people, just an eager anticipation. And you know why? Because they are ready. They are ready. They knew and they believed that they were not going to be on this old earth forever. They know and they believe that it and all the works that are in are going to be burned up. They knew and they believed that if they led their lives in obedient love of Jesus, they would have a wonderful eternal home awaiting them. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 with me, please. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, Paul talked about a home. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Eternal in the heavens. That's the home that's awaiting us, brothers and sisters. Indeed, this home was described by Peter in 1 Peter 1:4 as an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Heaven is what they've been looking for, and Jesus coming will take them there. Now, have you ever been really looking forward to taking a trip? Maybe you were going home after being gone for a long time to see your mom and dad. All the arrangements have been made. You have talked to your parents and they know you're coming. And they might even say, "We'll get everything ready just for you." You picture your mom cleaning the house, getting your room ready with the new clean linens on the bed. If they have an extra bathroom that you're going to use, you know that there'll be crisp towels and washcloths and the bathtub will be scrubbed out. Everything will be ready just for you. That knowledge even serves to build your anticipation higher. Well, the greatest trip that we will ever make will be our trip home to heaven. All faithful Christians are going to make that trip, and everything will be ready for our arrival. Turn to John, the 14th chapter with me, please. John the 14th chapter. You talk about preparation. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, brethren, no place will ever compare to the home in heaven that Jesus is preparing for those who love him. I can think of nothing that I want more than to use my reservation. Remember that Peter said it was reserved in heaven for me and to take up my residence there. Well, why did Peter say that? Well, there are many reasons, and let me give you a few. First, heaven is eternal. It is eternal. It will never, ever end. Well, turn to Revelation 22, if you would. Chapter 22. We're told in Revelation 22 and verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." What's the significance of the tree of life? Well, if you would, look at Genesis 3 and verse 22. There we're told, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Live forever. Brethren, the significance is to eat of the tree of life is to live forever. And in heaven, we will have the right to that tree. I can remember days with my family that were so wonderful, just thoroughly enjoyable. Everything went just right. Even the kids behaved. And as the day would wind down, I'd be wishing that that day would never end, but I knew that it would. But the glorious home in heaven where every day and everything will always be just right will never, ever end. Can we possibly on this side of eternity comprehend and appreciate that as we should? Heaven will be a place of righteousness. Or to put it another way, heaven will be a place of no sin. Turn to Revelation 21, chapter 20, verse 27. You might put a ribbon in your book in Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." This, my friends, are faithful Christians, and won't that be wonderful? Let me ask you, brethren, do you ever get tired of sin? Do you ever get tired of immorality? Don't you get tired of the constant bombardment of sex of all varieties? A premarital, extramarital, or just plain old perverted sex? Don't you get tired of it in the TV and in the books and the music and movies and so on? Don't you get tired of profanity, tired of cheating, tired of stealing, tired of drugs, tired of drinking, tired of lying, tired of unscrupulous business practices, tired of just plain dishonesty? Don't you get tired of gossip, tired of meanness, tired of unfaithfulness, tired of dirty politics? Don't you sometimes just get plain old sick and tired of it all? Well, I know I do, and I know that many of you do too. Revelation 21 and verse 22 and 23 tells us, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." In heaven, my brothers and sisters, in heaven we will be with God, and there will be no legislative bodies legalizing sin, and I can't wait to get there. Heaven will be a place of surpassing beauty. Surpassing beauty. A little girl was looking up the sky filled with the stars, and her father asked her, says, "What are you thinking about?" She said, "You know, Dad, If the top of heaven is as pretty as the bottom, I sure want to go there, don't you? Heaven will be a spiritual place, a place where nothing corruptible will be found. Yet it is with physical images that the beauty of heaven is conveyed to us, so that we must realize that the words never ever really do it justice, even when the words present a picture of almost unimaginable beauty. Go with me to Revelation 21, if you would, and let's look at verses 10 through 13. John wrote, "And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates." Now skip down to verses 18 through 21. "And building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto a clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprase; the 11th, a jacinth; the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." God used the most precious, beautiful things known to the world at that time to describe the eternal home of the saved, or heaven. Don't you wonder why anyone would want to trade what lies ahead in heaven for the cheap and temporary things of this world? Heaven will be a place of joy. Let's look together at verse 4 of Revelation 21. It's a familiar passage, yet one I think can never become commonplace. And it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Do you know two things that you will never see in heaven? Cemeteries and hospitals. There will be no more sickness, there will be no more pain, and no more death. There will be no more long and trying nights, lying awake, sick with worry and stress. There will be no more funeral processions. No more cheeks streaked with tears and eyes puffy and red from crying. There'll be no more widows or widowers wondering how they're ever going to go on. And there'll be no more goodbyes. Heaven will be a place of rest. This life is not a time for rest. We must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work, according to Jesus in John 9 and verse 4. If we're faithful in our service to the Lord, we're going to get tired occasionally. But brethren, we can't quit. We can never quit. We know that in due season we shall reap if we faint not, just like Sister Rainwater did. Go back to Revelation, this time chapter 14. I want us to listen to these words of encouragement. Revelation 14 and verse 13. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Isn't this a wonderful, comforting feeling to know that our labors will be remembered and that they'll follow us? Or it might be a frightening feeling. Each of us need to think about that. People talk about resting when retirement comes. Then inevitably, they all say they're busier now than they were when they were working. But in heaven, we will have ceased from our labors here on earth. Heaven, what a place to retire to. Who will be in heaven? Most of all, Heaven will be wonderful because of who will be there. Will we know one another in heaven, you may ask? Well, the question is philosophical, perhaps, but I answer emphatically, yes, indeed, we will know one another there. For with what sense of perception we died with the same, we will be raised, else what purpose of this earthly life? Yes, we will know and we will be known. We will have a new body, but the mind will be the one that we have had, the one we prepared especially for this event. Who will be there? Well, the grand fellowship will assemble there, the noble of the ages, the great of God, the grandest of the grand, the best of the best will be there. I know all of us can think of family members and friends who we know will be there. I know that my Uncle Henry will be there. I know that Grover Stevens, Roy Cogdell, H.E. Phillips, faithful gospel preachers, I know they will be there, and many other devoted preachers, too numerous to name, will be there. I know that our sister Rainwater will be there. My mother will be there, along with my sister-in-law Janice. My dad will be there. We'll talk about things that we did, and his legs will be strong again, his step lively again. Peter will talk about how he walked on water. Moses will explain the parting of the sea, and John will tell of the leaning on the breast of the Savior. We'll hear Stephen and Apollos and Philip and Barnabas and James as they preach about Jesus and his salvation. Best of all, we'll see Jesus. Jesus who loved us, Jesus who lives for us, Jesus who died for us, our Savior. Oh, what a Savior. We'll say, show us the Father. And he will. What will we do in heaven? I don't know what all we'll be doing in heaven, but I do know that we'll not be dormant and inactive. Revelation 22 and verse 3 says, and his servants shall serve him. We'll be involved in worshiping, adorning, and glorifying God for eternity. Brethren, if we do not enjoy worshiping God for and having fellowship with one another, we're not fit for heaven. And I wonder if just some of us would even be happy if we made it there with the attitude we seem to have about worshiping God and about one another. Now the scriptures that we've read paint a beautiful picture of heaven. But wait a minute. Wait just a minute. There are barriers to heaven. It's not automatic that you're going to get there. A barrier is an obstacle that in some ways restrict. There are some things that will definitely keep folks out of heaven, and pride is one of them. Pride is a barrier to heaven. Sometimes pride will keep folks from seeking after God. And the psalmist said, the wicked, through the pride of the count of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts, in Psalms 10 and verse 4. Those filled with pride will not humble themselves enough to seek after God and retain God in their thoughts. Pride fills the heart in such a way that one is deceived into thinking he's just too high to fall. If pride is allowed to have its way in your life, it will serve as a barrier to heaven. Lack of Bible knowledge. Lack of Bible knowledge is a barrier to heaven. And we talk about this all the time in our Bible classes. Remember, we say, study, study, study our Bibles. The prophet Hosea tells us in Hosea 4 and verse 6 that God destroyed some of his people for lack of knowledge. Brethren, you cannot obey that which you do not know. If you don't know, we can't do it. And if we fail to do it, we'll not be able to go to heaven. It's just that simple. Turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you will. And let's read this warning that Jesus gives us. Matthew, the 7th chapter. And verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Brethren, you can't do the will of the Father if you don't know it. So please don't let the lack of knowledge, lack of Bible knowledge, keep you out of heaven. Come to Bible classes. Come to Bible classes. And if you need a personal one-on-one Bible study, just let someone know after class, after the services. Loving the praise of men more than that of God is a barrier to heaven. Most people have an ego problem. Men are tempted to please those who fill their ego with what they like to hear. The desire to be heard of men led some in the days of Jesus to sound a trumpet before they prayed in the streets that they might have the glory of men. That's in Matthew 6 and verse 2. Loving the praise of men more than the praise of God sometimes keeps elders from doing their jobs as elders, and it keeps preachers and teachers from laying it on the line like it ought to be. And like Sister Rainwater, I know, loved it. Turn to Galatians 1 with me. Galatians chapter 1. Brethren, let us all develop the attitude expressed by Paul when he said in Galatians 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And brethren, worldliness is a barrier to heaven. Worldly lust and pride that is allowed to dictate us rather than to be governed by the Word of God will keep us out of heaven. Some are quick to say, "But preacher, wait a minute. We live in a world and we cannot help from being a part of it." This is true. But it's like the situation with the ship. The ship is in the water, but when the water gets into the ship, there will be problems. Worldliness gets into church members and they begin to miss services. They begin to drink socially. They begin to do other things that they shouldn't be doing. Then they're no value to the church. If this continues, worldliness will be a barrier to heaven. Denominationalism. Denominationalism is a barrier to heaven. Denominationalism has taught people that anything is all right with God just as long as you're honest and sincere. They teach that God is just too good to allow anyone to be lost. And a failure of denominational churches to teach the truth causes many to obey a false doctrine. This is a barrier to heaven. Sin is a barrier to heaven. Remember, sin drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. Sin kept many of God's people out of the land of Canaan. Sin separated man from God. It seems that today many think that sin is not as bad as it once was. We need to realize that sin is sin, and every generation needs to be taught what sin is and what sin will do for them. I've heard it said, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Truer words were never spoken. Sin is a barrier to heaven. So we must be on guard every minute of every hour of every day in order to reach heaven, the home for Christians. Yes, whatever heaven will be like, it will be the home for Christians. And in the end, to the struggles of this life. And yes, there will be one eternal day coming when we will be with our Savior in all of His splendor and His majesty. And it will be in that moment that God will wipe away all the tears from our souls. And all the mysteries shall be revealed. And we shall trade our crosses for crowns. And the joy of our salvation will fill our spirits in a way that we never imagined possible. Yes, heaven will be worth it. It will be worth it. And finally, brethren, I want to go to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. We really only have one or two choices, heaven or hell. And the choice is entirely up to us. And no one has to go to hell. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." In a few moments, Brother Bill is going to lead us in Amazing Grace. And I think of the words of the song of Amazing Grace in verse 5. And when we get there, please pay attention to verse 5. It says, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." If you're not a Christian, and you want to go to this wonderful place called heaven, listen to what you must do in order to gain eternal life. You must repent of your sins. You must confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, as the 3,000 Jews did on the day of Pentecost. When they asked Peter what they needed to do to be saved, he commanded them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you've done these things, you will then be added to the church by the Lord, the church of Christ, the church that Jesus died for, the only church you read about in the Bible. Then you must remain faithful until death, and then you'll receive that crown of life that Jesus promises, just as our beloved sister Rainwater did. There may be some here who have taken these steps. Maybe you wandered from the Lord. This morning would be a good time to take care of that too. And you do that by coming forward and let us know that you have repented to God, and let us pray with you and pray for you. My dear friends, think about what we've just said. Jesus has already done the hard part. He died on that cross for us. He paid the price. He paid the price for it. He didn't have to. But he did it because he loved us. And if you miss heaven, you missed it all. Think about it. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. Everything. Can we help anyone? If we can, please take advantage of it this morning, while we stand and while we sing.